I pray that you'd help us this evening as we get in the Word of God. We need your help. Lord, we are a people that want to serve you and please you. And Lord, sometimes we're just learning, sometimes we goof, and we could do better. Lord, show it to us and help us so we can fix it and do better. But Lord, we want to love you, we love your word, trust in your promises. So tonight, Lord, we pray that you would give us some things from the word that will encourage us to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Generally, what you look at, you go toward. What you concentrate on, you're drawn to. And so that's why when you go down a street and you're driving the car and something slides on that side of the car and you get your eyes on that apple that's flying across out of your lunch and you try to do this and you think you can go straight, you tend to go where you're looking. And that's how accidents happen. And I don't care. I've tried. I know that and I still do it. And I still have to jerk the car back in alignment. One of the things sometimes that helps us when you're trying to lose a little weight, get a picture of somebody that looks like you want to be. And you can motivate yourself to be skinny like that or muscular like that or whatever. What you look to, you tend to go to. And the Bible says we're to look to Jesus. And we're to look to his word, and we're to keep our eyes on heaven, and we're to keep our eyes on the road that's set before us. And Paul says, forget those things which are behind, and looking forward to those things which are before, we press toward the mark. But there's a lot of things in this world that would pull us. And that's why, I want to get on a soapbox for just a moment. This is not the message, but that's why it's so careful. I'm up on the box now. Be careful what you're watching on TV. Is it any surprise in our society why there's so much perverted sex? There's all kinds. Why are all these guys shooting people from towers and hotels? And Matt, have you watched any of the Hollywood movies? It's exactly what they're full of. Haven't we been saying for the last 10, 15, 20 years, what kind of games did you let your kids play? Blood and gore. Yeah, come on, we're going to kill them all. They're just, now it's being acted out. What you look to, you become. Parents, can I be safe? Just be careful of letting your kids just do all the blood, guts, and gore, and we just take out the whole ball of wax, whether it's gaming or whether it's television or whatever it is. Two times in the last month, somebody has come into the church hall and they said, Pastor, I saw this horrible accident. People were everywhere. It was awful. I can't get it out of my mind. Saw somebody just recently said, I saw somebody, it was an accident and the car was exploded in flames and I just think somebody was inside. And that burns a hole in your head, doesn't it? And you know, what we look at, we become. And so we got to keep our eyes on the Lord. So we put our eyes on the world sometimes. Sometimes we put our eyes on sin. You begin to look to sin, you first look, and then you go, and then you look closer, and then you touch, and then you taste, then you participate. Don't fiddle around. It's just like cheesecake. You buy it. You shouldn't have even bought it to the house. My wife and I have a rule, since we're both trying to always stay on our diet, don't bring it in the house. And every once in a while, one of us slips. And you know where we usually slip? It's this little thing called blue bell. It's not a bell that goes like this, all right? You know, when it walks in the house, it's already predestined to end up here. It's just a walk, and it's just a game you play. Come on. And so when we look to, I'm just calling that diet sin, okay? But when you look to sin and stuff you shouldn't, you start thinking about it. You're already well down the road to doing it. You really are. Have you been fiddling in your mind with some stuff you shouldn't be fiddling with? You've been thinking some thoughts that aren't just right? You say, I'm not doing them. Well, you're well on your way and you don't even know it yet. You're well on your way. Sometimes we look at the faults of others. Your churches are full of self-righteous people. say, are you preaching at me? I didn't say you. I just said it's full of them. Over the years, the self-righteous can see the faults of everybody else in a church. And they get so focused on them that they take their eyes off the Lord Jesus. And it's real easy. I remember there was a man 30 years ago in our church. He was getting away from the Lord. It was pretty obvious. He was starting, his life was changing. And as a pastor, when people start changing patterns and it gets obvious and more obvious, something is swirling. There were some things in his life. And he was looking into the world and there was sin in his life, but he became self-righteous. He began to start mentioning to me people that he saw that needed to correct themselves. And I'm thinking the whole time, you're listing to me their sins? And yet he became pretty good a sin detector. And the ultimate, just before he really went off the edge, was as at one night after a church service, he walked out and walked to his car. He looped back around and he handed me the back of a bulletin where there was some space, where you're supposed to take notes. And he had listed everybody in the church that had been chewing gum that night. He said, my name was on there then, Pastor. Okay. That's probably commandment number 13. I hadn't got there yet, you know, in the Ten Commandments. He said, well, what was wrong with that? He didn't pay attention to the sermon at all. He'd been so busy looking at the faults of other people that he himself couldn't see his own faults. And Christians, we could be careful what we look at. And I could build this. This is just really introductory. Tonight I have four things I want us to think about looking unto. Look, if you will, Isaiah chapter 41 and in verse 20, please. Isaiah 41 and verse 20. That ye may see and know, and consider, and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this. The Holy One of Israel hath created it. I'm not going to try to give the context out of you. God has worked in Israel, done some things, and he's done it for a purpose, and God's hand has been upon Israel. He's brought them along. God has been a good God to them. And he says, I want you to look back at on those things that God has done. And notice what he says. They really sort of boil down to one category. Look, but look at the way he breaks it out, that ye may see. In other words, that you would understand and see, that you would understand this was God had done some things in your life, and it's a good thing. The second thing, that you would not only see it, but that you would know that God had done it. It wasn't an accident. The third thing is that you would then consider. Yes, God has been in my life in the past. I can see the clear hand of God from way back here in the year 1992, in the year 1998, in the year 2002 and 2007, and then in 2006 and 2017, and then just recently in 2018, and then just last week, I understand and I consider that God has been with me every time I needed him. I would understand it, I'd see it, and I know it, and I consider that God has never left me alone. And then he says, last of all, that you would understand together. You could take that together to mean that you take as a group together, but I sort of take it that you would understand and put it all together in your mind. God is good. And so we take tonight the idea that we're going to take the word look. We want to look back. And we want to praise God for his goodnesses. It's interesting in life that we would look back. We sometimes look forward or we look around and we see all the problems of life and the challenges and all the rest. But it's like a lady having a baby. If you ask her when she's going through the process, she's miserable. It's the middle of July. She's perspiring. She's thinking, I hate my husband. Okay. Girls, you'll understand that one day. Okay. Then you ask her when she's actually in the hospital and she's in labor. She now wants to kill him. Yeah, there's a thing called transition. Your wife's being really sweet. And then about halfway through the baby's birth, there's something. There's no sweetness left. And then you get back to the room, the little baby's born, and she's so happy. Maybe it's a boy or girl or twins or whatever it is. You know, you have the baby. And she's happy. The pain's over. But that is not the time to say, let's do it again. It is definitely not the time. Okay. But you know, about 6 months, a year later, all of a sudden the baby's clothes are being packed away, and now, you know, he's starting to walk and not be. And one day she says, maybe. And you say, what? Maybe what? Oh, I just had a thought. Maybe we'll have another one. Really? It's amazing. As you look back, you forget sometimes all the hardness of the way, and you just remember the reward of how that pregnancy brought a wonderful thing into your life. And as we look back in our life, and sometimes we say, boy, there were some hard times, but we need to look back and understand God was always there for us. He helped us through. God is good. He was there, number one, when he saved us. He plucked us out of the sin pit and helped us to be saved. He pursued us till we listened. He persisted till we bent the knee. Praise God for a God that sought us. Praise God for his deliverances. And there are a lot of times the deliverances come because we've made some pretty dumb mistakes in our life. Would you say amen? And God in his mercy has not only saved our soul, but he's lifted my foot out of the miry garbage I stepped in, and he's cleaned me from my habits. He's cleaned me from my flesh. He's cleaned me from that which has destroyed the sweetness of my spirit, and he's restored my soul. God, as I look back, is to be praised. Praise God for his protection. You know, the Bible talks about that he gives his angels charge over thee. I wonder how many times your angel or my angel had to work overtime. God has protected us all along the way. He's kept our feet from slipping. And he's protected us. I think it'll be interesting, not that we probably will care, but if when we get to heaven, and now we can see back with perfect understanding how many things God protected us from we didn't even realize. We were walking through all kinds of problems and not even realize it. God is good. I have to tell you a story. Several years ago, my wife and I took a trip. We were just a couple days getting away. We drove all the way up and went to Dallas and around and got a motel. And the next day we were going to head out and then drop down, get a motel, and then go see Pastor Robert and come home. So we were up, where's the Air Force base up there? In Killeen. Okay, we were in Killeen. So we were driving up and we're just driving around Killeen. If you've never been up, it's sort of interesting. It's dry. It's got a big lake. And so we drove up to this one section, and we drove around the lake. There's nothing to see. Don't waste your time. And we drove around that thing. And if you just know my wife and I's personality, we like to take the off-roads. So we saw this little road. It had a sign on it. You could go that way. And so we went that way. But obviously, it wasn't too well-traveled. That had our name on it. So we go and we drive, and it's really neat. I mean, there's like little towns here that are deserted and all kinds of stuff. We're enjoying it, and we see all kinds of stuff, and pretty soon, I'm not going to go into all the things that we saw. We thought, boy, there's nobody out here. And so finally, we see whatever it's I-35 or 20 or whatever it is that's out there. We see the main road, and we said that's the direction we go. We turn and went that way, and we passed over this sign that's big. You go through this arch and nothing on this side. We looked around, looked at the sign, and it said, do not enter artillery range, live ammunition fire. We said, am I teasing? No. We said, God is good to fools. God has protected us. That's just something we saw. I wonder how many dumb things we do and we never get to see that God has been watching over us. You know, sometimes we wonder, where's God? He's overtime busy with us. And God has provided. He's never suffered the righteous to beg bread. Ah, we wanted a bigger car, a little more money, not so much just the change in our pocket. We wanted more dollar bills, but God has over and over and over and over and over again provided our daily bread. So as we look back with praise. Do you look back with praise? I think it's good for us once in a while just to count our blessings and look back and praise. Number two, I think we need to look ahead too. I don't want to just be a back looker. I want to be a forward looker. Look to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 2, one of my favorite books and verses in Hebrews. Hebrews 12, 2. Would you just say it out loud or read it? I think many of us know it already. Here we go. Hebrews 12, 2, go, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, looking unto Jesus. Why look to Jesus? Well, because he is the source of all, isn't he? He is the one that's going to help us through the next steps in our life. He's the one that's going to show us where to go. And here it says, it has this about him, looking unto Jesus, the author, and then he's the one that's going to help us to finish. So we look ahead, and here's the phrase, look ahead and trust him. Alma, I'll pick on you tonight. Look ahead and trust him. Okay? I can't give you any better advice. He'll never let you down. I don't know why, how, all you're going through, but I just know your case a little better. I think we all could say that about our lives. Maybe your job plays out. Maybe your health has a problem. Maybe your economics. Maybe the family problem you didn't seek. Maybe there's just some unexpected thing. Just look ahead and trust him. Don't turn to the right hand. Don't turn to the left hand. You just look ahead and keep following. Don't let anybody discourage you. Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter before this, says, for without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible. If I'm going to walk a walk that pleases God, I got to keep my eyes by faith and not turn to, because it gets hard, because I don't understand. I look ahead and I say, I trust you, Lord. In our message this morning, isn't that what Paul said on that boat? God said it, and I believe him. God said it, and I believe him. Listen, people, when you're going to look ahead and keep your eyes on Jesus, get in the Word of God, let him give you a promise, and then don't look back. Look ahead. Look ahead by faith. Psalm 23. I always have to turn because my brain goes blank when I try to get in front of people. We all know Psalm 23. Let me just give you the part I want out of it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is that not looking forward with faith and trust? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Listen, Christians, we look ahead and we say, by faith, just as he never deserted me in the past, he'll never desert me in the future. And God knows exactly what's coming up. There's no surprises to God. He puts you where you need to be at the right time, with the right stuff, with the right help, with the grace you need every single time in your life. Look ahead and trust him. I wrote in my notes here, taking the first two points, looking back and looking forward. Look back with gratitude. Look forward with confidence. That's the kind of life that God can bless. Look back with gratitude. Praise him. Look forward with trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why can I have confidence? Because God has already demonstrated that he has been there. So why would he now stop? Why would he desert me halfway through? Look forward and trust him. We have some of our seniors getting ready to graduate. Can I say to you, I hope you're looking forward. Not just to the day you graduate, but look forward, and whatever God has called you to, don't doubt it. If I could give any advice over and over and over again to anybody in any field, it's just to trust God more confidently and more boldly. If God says it, it will come to pass. It will. Trust him. Don't doubt him. Number three, we look back, we look forward. Let's look around. Turn to Matthew chapter 9, please. Matthew chapter 9. Jesus gives us an idea of how to look around. In verse 35, he went through all the villages preaching and teaching. In verse 36, but when he, Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted, were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Look around and serve him. Look around and get involved. There's a lot of things to do. Work, for the night is coming when no work shall be done. When's that night? Well, after Jesus comes and the door closes, when I die. But today it's day. And while it's day, you make hay. Look around and serve him. Where do you start looking? Can I tell you the first place to look? You look at your local church. That's the place to really get trained and get busy. And one of the things that I have sincerely tried to do with the Westside Baptist Church is be a place where you, if you want to, you can plug in and you can get as involved as you can be. We try to stretch your talents, let you do stuff you never did before, train you, throw you at the end of the pool, watch you drown, pull you out again. Get involved in your local church. Serve him. Man, two sweet groups up here singing tonight. I didn't know the Cabreras could even sing. I knew they could. What a blessing. Watching the ladies. Ladies, you had a good harmony. Is that a new group? You did a good job. Sort of new, a little fresh talent coming on the edge. Praise the Lord. Sunday school teachers. We're always needing Sunday school teachers, junior church workers, nursery workers, people who mow the lawn, clean the church, work on the vans. Can I just ask you to pray over the van routes? Some of our leadership are graduating. And I've been sincerely praying that God will raise up some bold, confident, committed, fresh workers in our bus ministry. I don't want that ministry to die at Westside Baptist Church. We need it. Look around and serve him. Are you busy at your local church? This is your training ground. This is the place we organize out of. Commit to something. Say, I'm busy. Well, get busy for God too. lot of people that believe when you tithe not your only your money, but you tithe your time, talents too. Get busy in your local church. Number two, look around. Look around at your habitat. So what's that? Where you live. What's that? Your house. Where you go to school. Your neighborhood. How can you serve the Lord in your house? At school, are there some people that need Christ? Does your street know Jesus? Is there something that you could do right where you are physically right now dwelling? Look around. Take a fresh look. And then get busy for Jesus. Look around and see the fields far and near. Get an eye to the fields. The fields are white under harvest. We sit, even in the sin-soaked America, the gospel is still out there pretty plenteous. There are places that have never yet. Never one. Who will tell them? Who will go? I couldn't be preaching to a more sympathetic audience here. Many of you were saved in other countries because of those that went in the past. Sometimes you pay it back, don't you? We need to get the gospel out to this world. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers. But before you pray that, be willing to go yourself. Send me. And if you choose not to send me, send somebody, Lord. But help me to know what my part is. Look around and serve. And serve. And there's a word that we use about looking around and serve. My wife and I were talking about this. This is missing in the modern generation church. Listen to this. It's missing. It's the word commitment. People are enjoying the large churches of 5,000 and 10,000 because nobody knows if they go, don't go. They can get involved if they want to. They can slip away for a year or two, on and on and on. There's no commitment. They hire it done. Teenagers, some of you are talking tonight. Okay. Don't do that. Make sure that you're committed. So let me ask you this question. Right now, pass around a piece of paper. Here's a piece for you. 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 Way back here's a piece for you. Piece for you. Write down what you're committed to serving the Lord in. What I'm saying committed, you're taking on some responsibility. It ain't going to get done if you don't do it. That's commitment. That's like we hire a Christian school teacher, and here's a third grade third grade Christian school teacher. If she doesn't show up tomorrow, you're up. That class depends on her commitment for the next 9 months. So let me ask you, you look around and we all live in places and we have a local church. What are you committed to? Because we live in a generation that doesn't want to make any. I don't want to be committed. But look around and serve him. There's a lot to be done. We have one more look. We've looked back, we looked forward, we looked around, we look up. Would you turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 1? Acts chapter 1. Verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus is coming back. See, they saw Jesus go up, and they were just standing there looking up, and he said, hey, now that you've got a good look up, get going, because Jesus is coming back, and he's going to expect some things. Can I say to you, we look up and expect him. Do you expect the Lord Jesus to come this week?
Maybe he will.
What's the Bible teach? Is there a good chance Jesus could come this week? Are you living that way? I one time preached. I was talking to ladies. Do you have an expectant look? And they went, like they're all expectant. Okay. It's not what I'm talking about. Do you have an expectant look? What's that expectant look like? Well, first of all, I expect when I look to heaven that it will be worth it all when I do finally get to see Jesus. All my labors and my trials and my crying and the aching and the sacrifice, it's gone. It'll be worth it all. I expect Jesus to come back, and I can't wait, and it'll be worth it. Because life is not about this. I died a long time ago when I got in Jesus. The old Richard died, and I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. So I look to Jesus, and it will be worth anything that's gone on. It's about him. It's not about me. It will be worth it all when I hear his, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Number two, I look up, and I'm challenged to redeem the time because he could come back any minute. And there's some things that need to get done. Have you ever faced a deadline? You remember when you were in high school or college and you had a paper due? And you dilly-dallied, procrastinated. It's the night before. You run to the library, gather all the research. You're laying there. It should have been like 2 weeks ago you had all this. And you're busy and you're working because the next morning, I mean, you got to have that paper in at 8 o'clock. When I was in graduate school, I had a 10-page paper due in one class every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. I promise you, I know during that whole year where I was at 3 in the morning every Friday, I was typing. I was working. I was laboring because that paper had to be at that place. It's a challenge. The deadline's coming up. Jesus is coming back. And there's stuff to be done. What are some things you see need to be done? I know one of the biggest things is there's some people I want to go to heaven with me. I don't know that I feel like we've, and I'm not saying this condemningly, we just got a lot more work to do in this neighborhood. We just haven't finished. God just keeps sending them in here on the boatloads. Fast as we can. They're building houses as far as you can see out Clay Road and down this way. A lot to get done. And we will be held accountable for what we've done. There will be a judgment day for a Christian. We know there's a judgment day for the lost, but there's a judgment seat of Christ. And that's when the rewards are given out, and maybe not so rewards. We've talked about this. I'm not going to preach hard on this tonight, but listen to me. Look back and expect him. And it will be worth it all when you see Jesus. And he is going to hold us accountable, and there is work to be done. And the day of his approaching, that window, even though I don't know the end, only the Father knows that date, right? I do know it's shrinking. And what am I responsible for? My slice of this time and this generation where I live with my opportunities. So I look up and I expect him to come back and I want to be ready. Perhaps you're here and you're not saved yet. I haven't preached a salvation message tonight, but I can't leave that out of a message like this. Jesus is coming back and there'll be a day it's too late. I walked in the funeral yesterday. There was another man that was there that was from a church, another church, and he said, you're the preacher? Yep. He started quizzing me. I guess he wanted to see what kind of preacher I was. He started saying half a scripture verse. You fill in the other half. Okay? Yeah. You know, type of thing. I've never quite run into something like that. And he was talking about verses like, when this life ends, we'll see Jesus. Verses like, when this body's gone, what'll happen? Verses like this. And you know, Christians, we know the answers. It wasn't hard to pass his quiz. We know the words. But where are we looking? Are you looking for Jesus? If I could motivate us afresh to live in the imminent return of Christ, this is the way to live a life. I used to lead the choir before Jim was added graciously to our church. I love your ministry, Jim. Keep it up. Be with us a long time. Don't die or anything like that, okay? Okay. Okay. But one of the things I used to tell the choir, don't sing flat-footed. You say, what kind of feet do they have? Okay. That means you need to have a little bit of a forwardness, a little teen, not where you can see it, a bend in the knee, like a coiled spring, and you sing with an energy. Whenever you sit in the back of your heels and you're flat-footed, there's just no energy in it. We need to be anticipating the coming of Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus. He's coming back. And then this life will be over and we'll be with him for all eternity. So, four looks. Look back and remember his goodness and praise him. Look forward and trust him. Whatever he brings, he will walk as he has in the past. He will in the future. Look around. There's lots to do. Amen. Make a commitment somewhere. Start in your local church. Look in your habitat around you. Get busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look far and near. And then look up and expect that one day he's going to come and it will be worth it all. Turn in your hymn books, please, to 286. Shall we stand and make this our song as we close the service tonight? Jesus may come, 286. Jesus may come today, glad day, glad day, and I would see my friend. Dangers and troubles would end if Jesus should come today. Glad day, glad day. Is it the crowning day? I'll live for today, nor anxious be. Jesus, my Lord, I soon shall see. Glad day, glad day. Is it the crowning day? I may go home today. Glad day, glad day. Seemeth I hear their song. Hail to the radiant throng. If I should go home today, glad day, glad day. Is it the crowning day? I'll live for today, nor anxious be. Jesus, my Lord, I soon shall see. Glad day, is it the crowning day? Look at the third verse, please. Here we go. Faithful I'll be today, glad day, glad day, and I will freely tell why I should love him so well, for he is my all today. Glad day, glad day, is it the crowning day? I'll live for today, nor anxious be. Jesus, my Lord, I soon shall see. Glad day, glad day, sing it out. Is it the crowning day?